Lecture 1, Thucydides and the Peloponnesian War.
My name is Kenneth Harrell. I teach ancient and medieval history at Tulane University, and I shall be leading you through this course of 36 lectures dealing with the Peloponnesian War. The Peloponnesian War is a 27-year struggle that ranged from 431 BC, when the fighting actually took place. War had been declared earlier the year before, and last down to 404 BC, and it pitted the two great city-states of Sparta and Athens against each other. However, in the course of the fighting, it involved most of the Greek world, not only the immediate area of Greece we know today, centered on the Aegean, but also the Greek colonies in Sicily and southern Italy, notably the great city of Syracuse, as well as came to the attention of the great king of Persia, who ruled the last of the great Near Eastern empires that stretched from the Aegean to the Indus, and his governors, or satraps, as it's known in Persian, in Western Asia Minor today, what is Turkey, intervened in the later stages of the war, of course, for the in the interest of the great king of Persia, at that time, a man named Darius II. The reasons for studying this war in particular are many, but to my mind, there are really two overriding reasons, and this is in part a result of teaching a survey course in the ancient Near Eastern Greece for many years at my university, and I find that I've concentrated a great deal on the Peloponnesian War in the central part of the course, because in many ways this war allows us to look at all sorts of institutions of the Greek world. And it is, in many ways, a turning point in Greek classical history, that period that stretches from 480 BC, the end of the Persian Wars, down to 323 BC, the death of Alexander the Great. We often refer to that as the classical period, the 5th and 4th centuries BC. And the Peloponnesian War functions as in many ways, the centerpiece, at least for the political, military, diplomatic, and even economic life of Greece. It's an extremely important war, and it's very well documented. And those two points together indicate that this war allows us to look at polities, city-states, Athens, Sparta, the lesser allies of both belligerents, in detail. And we can see the intersection of politics, economics, society, because these are states in which citizens voted. They voted in assemblies of adult male citizens. This is not a war between kings. This is not a war between professional armies. This is a war that pits citizens from different polities against each other. And if you think for a moment in the course of human history, how many times in any tradition has a citizen body really asserted itself and been the sovereign body within a state, even if the franchise is restricted? And you really only come up with four examples. One is obviously Athens, Sparta, the various city-states we'll be studying in this course. The second is the Roman Republic. And the third would be the British Parliamentary Order in the 17th century, which becomes the model for many European constitutions, including that devised by France in the Revolutionary period, and finally the federal experiment of the United States, our Constitution. So it behooves us, as heirs to this Western tradition, to look at the Peloponnesian War. It is extremely well documented and extremely relevant to us. How do citizens go to war? How does the total population get involved in these conflicts? Why do they come about? What is the course and results of such great conflicts? And as I said, this is an extremely well-documented war from antiquity. The other one is the Punic Wars, the First and Second Punic Wars waged between Rome and Carthage, again, two republics with voting citizen bodies in the 3rd century BC. And so the Punic Wars and the Peloponnesian Wars have traditionally been seen as models for many historians of the Western tradition, for political scientists and others. The second big reason in my mind for studying this conflict is that we have an excellent record from the historian Thucydides, an Athenian who was a participant, a contemporary with events. He was from a great Athenian aristocratic family, probably a family known as the Philiads, who were political opponents of Pericles. Pericles is the great democratic leader who emerges from the pages of Thucydides in many ways as the model democratic leader in war. And Thucydides pens from firsthand experience the qualities of Pericles and why he and perhaps his strategy for winning that war were really light years ahead of everyone who followed him as political leaders in Athens. He dies in 429 BC in the third year of the war, and we find in the later pages of Thucydides a great deal of the discussion is why leaders just don't come up to the mark of Pericles. Thucydides is important because he sets a standard for writing history in the West that endures to this time. Right down to this day, all of us, if we are serious professional historians, look to Thucydides as our model. Herodotus, who is about a half a generation earlier than Thucydides, and penned an account on the Persian Wars and early Greek traditions in the Near East, he's often called the father of history. He, too, has that peculiar perspective of Greek writers, that is, they stand outside their society, can comment with a certain objectivity on other societies in order to understand their own. Herodotus is often seen as the father of history, and yet, in some ways, Thucydides is even better in his technique than Herodotus is.